Why do wars happen? I used to say, you know, the devil is behind all wars. But now I realize I was wrong. You know who's behind every war? God. God. You know, when I found out He creates peace and He creates evil. I mean, He creates light and He creates darkness. He wounds and He heals. And He makes alive. He, God, does all these things. What does He create war for? Because of evil. Because of wickedness. Because we won't serve Him. You know, I read that story about King Sennacherib, when all of a sudden he's sitting there in his castle in Syria one day, and all of a sudden the desire came to him in his heart to go out to a little nation and wipe it out. And so he goes out there and wipes them out. And when he gets them all killed, well, all of a sudden he said, well, while I'm over here, and I'll just go on down to this next nation and wipe them out too. And so he just makes a round, and he's killing nations, destroying them. He comes back to Israel. Oh, he says, while I'm here at Israel, I might as well just kill them too. Just wipe them out. I mean, he's just in the killing mode now, you know. He's got tens of thousands of troops. So he goes up to King Hezekiah and says, tomorrow I'm going to annihilate Israel. Well, I mean, the king probably hadn't prayed lately, but it's time to pray now. Isn't that amazing how we don't pray till the need comes, you know? And so he goes and gets Elijah and says, Elijah, Hezekiah says, you know, that King Sennacherib was out there and he says he's going to wipe us out tomorrow. Hezekiah said, well, I mean, Elijah says, let's pray. And so he said, Lord, what do we do here? Well, the Lord come back and told Elijah, said, you know, King Hezekiah, he's been a good king. He's obeyed me. So I won't let nobody hurt y'all. Yeah. Aren't we glad he was a good king?
Amen.
Don't you wish we had a good one? We don't meet that criteria. We got a bunch of rotten people in Washington. Amen. Not just the president, a bunch of them up there.
Amen.
Rotten as they can be. So that puts us in jeopardy. Because the king, if he hadn't been obedient, God would allow Hezekiah to be wiped out by King Sennacherib. But because he had been a good king, he didn't let nothing happen to him. But he told him. He said, you know, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. And so the next day when King Sennacherib came up there and said, I'm going to kill y'all and wipe you out. King Hezekiah said, no, you can't do this. God said, I've been a good boy, and so he's going to protect us from y'all. And so King Sennacherib said, the God of all them other countries, could they protect them? I went over there and killed them all. They had gods too, but they couldn't protect them. So what God is there that can protect you against me? I'm the most powerful man there is. I'm going to wipe you. He said, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to come back tomorrow. And I'm just going to annihilate y'all. Sounds scary, doesn't it? So they go back to prayer again. And this time when Hezekiah and Elijah are praying, the Lord says, tell Hezekiah, he has been a good king. And said, tell him also that King Sennacherib works for me. He doesn't know me, but he works for me. I'm the one that sent him out to annihilate all those nations. Now that's something, isn't it? He works for me, but he don't even know me. And because standing in front of Israel yesterday, he didn't give glory to me because he didn't do that. Now I'm going to kill him. Woo, that's scary, isn't it? He said, now tonight I will send an angel. And I will kill 185,000 of his soldiers. When King Sennacherib wakes up in the morning, there will be 185,000 dead soldiers laying out there. I will have sent one angel to kill them. And then he'll be so intimidated, he'll go back to his own temple, Dagon, and he'll bow down before his God to worship it. And when he does, I'm going to have one of his own sons come over and pull his sword out and kill him right before his God. Because he didn't give me the glory for what I'd done. Somebody said, I don't know that God. Most people don't. But what I told you is exactly what's written in the book. Now, why did King Sennacherib lose his life? Because had he worked for God? Here he is sitting here in his castle, and all of a sudden something moves on his heart to go out and wipe out a nation. Who was that? God. Absolutely right. And then after he annihilated that nation, who moved on his heart to go down and annihilate another nation? God. God's in control. They weren't serving him, so he had them wiped out. That's kind of scary, isn't it? And then Israel was serving him. And then the king clearly said, Sennacherib works for me, but he don't know me. Now, yesterday, because he failed to give me the glory, I'm going to kill him. That's really scary. I mean, all this is written in God's Word. If you've read the Bible, you know the story I just told you is true. So King Sennacherib wakes up the next morning, and there on the fields of Israel, his army lies dead. The scripture says there was 185,000 of them dead. Why did those men die? Because of their king. Because of their king. One man cost the life of all those other soldiers. And then when he was so intimidated, he gets up and with what few he has left, he does go back to Syria. And he goes in and bows down before that idol. On his face, worshiping a stupid idol. And God moved on one of his own son's heart. And his son goes over there and pulls his sword out of his sheath and runs it through his dad and kills him. Now then, since God said that's exactly what he was going to do, who moved on that boy's heart to kill his daddy? God did. Most people don't know this God. God would never do that. When he says, my ways are not your ways, you think he means that? Oh yeah, he means it. Under the new covenant, we've got some great things that he gives us under the new covenant. Aren't we grateful for Jesus and the blood of Jesus? I want us to start in Hebrews chapter 1. We'll start in Hebrews 1. I don't care if you use the King James or the NLT, either one, Dave. They both say the same. I've read them so many times, parallel, side by side. Just use the NLT, I guess. It'll be okay. But both of them say the same thing. Some people will say, I'm sure glad you use the King James all the time. Well, I don't use it all the time, but they both say the same thing. I've read them parallel with each other, side by side. Hebrews chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. We just talked about one of those, didn't we? Who was talking through those prophets? God. Was he telling the prophet what to do? Yeah. But think of the Old Testament. Think of the times God spoke through his prophets that come to him and interceded. And God spoke to those men and they went and told the people what to say. And sometimes the kings liked it and sometimes they didn't like it. Yesterday in 2 Samuel, when Micaiah, whenever he went and told the king that Ahab, if you go to war, first of all, he said, you'll win. And then that's when Ahab said, that's what all of these 450 prophets here have told me, but I want you to tell me what God says. And so then he told him what God says. He said, you ain't going to come back. You're going to get killed. Well, he said, see what I tell you? This guy never tells me what I want to hear. He always tells me something I hate. He said, put him in prison and feed him bread of affliction and water. See what kind of trouble we get in when we tell the truth? It's a whole lot easier to tell somebody what they want to hear. Everybody's going to be okay. Y'all don't worry about what Thurman's been saying. The world's going to be fine. The economy's coming back up. It's going to be gold and silver in our future. We're going to have money. God's going to bless the nation. He's just going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. Ain't nothing going to happen to America. Everybody loves that. But that ain't what's going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's already happening. When I look at that sign on the back of that preacher's car, and he's still got Obama and Biden on there, and he's been in office for 6 months. I mean, either you're not looking at what he's doing, either your brain is completely closed off, or something is wrong with you. Now, any Christian, I made this statement before, we voted. If you're a Christian and you vote for Obama and Biden, Biden, whatever you want to call him. Biden, whatever you want to call him. If you vote for him, you need to check out your spiritual temperature. Because we know he's a liar. God said he hates liars. We know he's for homosexuals. We know God hates homosexuals. I mean, obviously God didn't dislike homosexual much. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do to it? He even burned the rocks. He didn't leave nothing, did he? That was the first nuclear bomb that ever hit the world that I know of. But that was a nuclear bomb from God that wiped out the entire country of Sodom and Gomorrah. So, obviously God don't like that. Of course, you know, he tells in the Old Testament, he said, when a man lies with a man as with a woman, it's an abomination to God. Now, when I was a 10-year-old kid, there was no such thing as television when I was 10 years old. So, if you'd have told me that somebody was gay, I'd have said, hey, praise God, I'm gay. You know. I enjoyed living. I was a gay guy. You know. But the word gay taken on a new word now, hadn't it? You know. Y'all see where I'm coming from? But if you told me, Thurman, he's gay. Praise God. Yeah, 10 years old, I'm gay. I mean, I run around on the farm. I have fun, you know. I chase them goats, nip chickens, you know, and I have all kinds of fun. I'm a gay boy. Praise God. I love having fun. I'm gay. But let me tell you, gay ain't gay. Gay is hell the way they do it today. Gay will take you to hell. And if they told me, well, he's a homosexual, I wouldn't know what that was. Never heard the word homosexuality until I was a grown man. Then when I heard it first time, I didn't know what it meant. But if you'd have told me, God hates it when a man lies with a man as with a woman. I knew that what that meant when I was 5 years old. I mean, I was raised on the farm. I saw animals breed. I knew what sex was all about. And I knew how God made it. And I knew that that's the way it was. And so I knew that if he said, you know, if a man lies with a man as with a woman, it's an abomination to God. He hates it.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more Living Savior Ministries teachings. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Power Washed with His Blood, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.